Just ask you a quick question. Does anybody think it would be good if, bit of a hypothetical question this, you'll understand, if Jesus could sort of, I don't mean when he comes back at the second coming of Christ, but if Jesus could be here physically like he was, you know, all those years ago, anybody think that would be? Yeah. Oh, no, okay, all right. Okay, so, well, no, second question. So, which is better then? If Jesus is here, or if he's not here? What, eh? You're just contradicting yourself. You just said, no. Yeah, 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 okay. All right then. Well, anyway, it will all become clear. Because today we're looking at this. It is historically, and today is the day of Pentecost, as we've already said. So I just want to show you, can't actually see the screen, next passage, if we could, which is taken, I think it comes up. Oh, that's lovely, thank you. So John 16, verse 7 says this, says, very truly, this is Jesus speaking before he went to the cross, actually. It's for your good that I'm going away. So see, you see my trick question. Unless I go away, the advocate, that's a term for the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So actually, the answer to the question, if we believe this, is that it's better if he's not here, because when he goes to the Father, and last Sunday was Ascension Sunday, get it right this time, Ascension Sunday, where Jesus went back to the Father and said, I've got to go there, and then I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And then a few days later, they were all up in a room, and the Holy Spirit came. The thing is, Jesus isn't omniscient. He didn't know everything. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. But the Holy Spirit can. He is and he can. And so we can have a Christian in China and a Christian here experiencing the blessing of the Holy Spirit at the same time. And so we're better off. So we're celebrating today the coming of the Spirit. Now, I do have a video clip as part of this. So I'll just ask the technical whiz kids if it's not going on yet, but a little bit later on. Is that okay? But we have got that. I just wanted to check. And just to say at the end, what I'm going to do, because the coming of the Spirit is a very experiential thing. It's not some pie in the sky thing. It's when God comes and comes into people's lives in a particular way. And so at the end, we're going to pray and ask for welcome the Holy Spirit and ask him to come. Now, you say, well, I've already been filled with the Spirit. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, which we'll read a passage from in a moment, the Holy Spirit came on several occasions to new believers and existing people who had already been filled with the Spirit. So you can be filled with the Spirit, keep on being filled with the Spirit, and be filled with the Spirit again. And so, it doesn't do any harm, does it? It's great. And so, let's read what actually happened. I'm ever so glad that David didn't read the Acts 2, because it means I can do it. Well, no. So, Acts chapter 2, and we'll read up to verse 21. So it says, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Anyway, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice. What a change to Peter. Just a few days earlier, he denied Jesus. What a change came upon him. Raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Now you're an all people. Upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Telescoping into the future there. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why did this happen? Why did God pour out his spirit upon the early church? And as we've heard, it was the beginning of the church, the birthday of the church. Why? And I thought about this week, and I've come up with a simple, but I reckon profound, but obvious, really, answer to that question. Why did God do it? And it's simply this, because one of the aspects of God, because God is love. He is love. And if you are by nature love, you act in a loving way. And one of the things that you would want to do is you would want to be a help to people that you love. If you've got a son or a daughter, you want to help them. If you've got a brother or sister and you love them, you want to help them, don't you? And so he comes to help. Now, John 14, verses 16 to 18 says this. I think it's on the screen. I will ask the Father, this is Jesus again, before he ascended to heaven, and he will give you another advocate. That's that word again, Holy Spirit. It's actually the word paraclete, but anyway, never mind. It means the Holy Spirit. And he's to help you and be with you forever. Isn't that an act of love? The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you. And a step further, he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. He's a loving Heavenly Father, and Jesus loves us, right? I will not leave you, I will come to you. Now, here's a key to knowing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is being prepared to accept God's help. Now, you may say, well, that's a bit obvious, and why wouldn't I? But in our attitudes, we can be very self-contained. We can be very, I've got it all the boxes ticked, I've got enough money, I've got people who love me around me, I don't really need anything else. But one of the keys to being filled with the Spirit is to come to God in humility and say, Lord, actually, I do need you. I need you in my life. So he comes to help us. But if we have an attitude where we say, I've got it all together, then we say, well, I don't need to bother with you then. I'll pass on to somebody who does need me. And so if you need the Lord today in whatever area, then he's here to come to you, and he will come to you. If we need him. So God is love, and he comes to help us. The second thing, because God is love, he seeks a relationship with us. And Christianity is a religion that is all about a relationship. Now, there's no other religion in the world that says anything like this. God is very distant if there is a God. Buddhists don't believe in a God. So, but if it's a God-believing religion, then God is far out there, and there's no intimacy. Now, the biggest example of intimacy I know is in a marriage, where couple like each other, they love each other, they want to live in the same house, they want to be with each other all the time, they even sleep in the same bed at night. But God doesn't just live with you, he comes by his Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to come inside of you. And Romans 5 says this, it says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. And for me, when I became a Christian, the 3rd of November 1978, and nothing happened, God didn't come to me. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I've told you this before. I thought an angel would appear. I thought a mini earthquake would happen. Something would happen because I really meant this. I'd looked into it. I'd studied it. And I was expecting something dramatic. Well, look at the day of Pentecost. Not a dicky bird. And then some days passed, and I thought, I feel so embarrassed. You know, this is all going wrong. This isn't happening for me. And then I went to this little share group, connect group, if you like, in All Brighton, near RAF Cosford, where I was based, near Wolverhampton. And Alan Davis, the leader of the group, just read a passage from the Bible to me. And I don't know what hour, what moment. I remember the date when I made that decision. But from that Thursday, the Holy Spirit came. It's my way of saying it actually happened. God came inside of me. He didn't appear as a person. Jesus is not here anymore. It's his Spirit that comes in. And my life has never been the same since that day. And he's still here today. So he seeks a relationship with you and me. I mean, talk about intimacy with God. Who on the earth can you at any point in time tell them anything without thinking, should I say that or not? Is that a mark of intimacy? Can you do that with anyone else? Can do that with our omnipresent Holy Spirit who lives in us. And the third expression of love. What about this? I was thinking about this week, you see. See, God is love, so he comes to help us. He wants a close relationship living on the inside of us. And the third expression of this love he wants us to enjoy him and him to enjoy us. I presume God does enjoy me when I praise him and I worship him. But an old statement of faith written many years ago called the Westminster Catechism. The first question there said this: what's the chief end of man? And the chief end of man, it's the first question in a whole list of things. And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Is it fun? Your Christian experience. See, being filled with the Spirit of God should make you laugh. It makes you laugh. It brings peace. It's God's love. It's someone who loves you being on the inside of you, sharing themselves with you and you with them. We used to sing a chorus which goes like this. You know, if you're a bit ancient like me, well, I'm ancient and modern, actually, you know, but, you know, probably a bit more ancient these days. But we sang this chorus, and it's, he has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Did you hear that, Pete? They're auditioning for the music. And then Chris Bowater, lovely, lovely Chris Bowater, who I love, because he played at my wedding. Very kind of him. No, not because of that. He did this song. This sums it up. I'm enjoying Jesus. No, not as many know that one. Okay, all right, that's fine. Anyway, so I'm enjoying letting Jesus live in me. How do I know if I'm a Christian? I'll tell you what. Christianity is not a load of do's and don'ts and bad news and darkness and horror. Christianity is life and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you can know that. But I'll tell you why. Because God loves you. God loves you. God so loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But it goes a step further. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And because he loves us, he comes to help us in our lives in general. But he comes for a relationship with you and him and me. And I express that relationship that I have to God quite naturally through thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And it can happen with me any time. I'm walking down the road. I'm in Morrison's. And I just start praising God. It just comes out because I feel his presence in me. And this is the fullness of the Spirit. It's for all people. It's for you. It's not for a special few. Are you the worst sinner in this room? Nobody's replied. Well, if there is one, call it me, then it includes me. It includes you. You're the prime candidate to be filled with the Spirit. As somebody said, I think it was Gerald Coates, if I'm bombing along the motorway in my car, breaking the speed limit, people say, oh, the angel have left me. Actually, the angel will stick closer just to look after me. So what I'm saying is, So what I'm saying is, if you feel you're not up to it, you're the person who God loves to come alongside. Not just come alongside, come inside and start empowering you and helping you and strengthening you from the inside of you. I love the passage in Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you, says Isaiah. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand today. Do you need the Lord today? Do you need his power? Do you need his insight? Do you need his counsel? Do you need his wisdom? Do you need his strength, his help? And this is the day of Pentecost. We're going to give you an opportunity to receive the fullness of the Spirit. But listen, don't come here thinking it's not very nice. Don't come here thinking it comes with some stick. Rubbish. God is love. And the reason he pours out his Spirit is because he loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to help you. He wants to know you and walk with you. So just quickly, what happens when... Sorry, I'm just having a look at where we're up to. Oh, thank you. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes in? Well, for goodness sake, let me tell you this. You're aware of it. You know it. There was fire, there was wind, they spoke in tongues, they were amazed and perplexed. Are you telling me they didn't know that? They know it. And I knew it. Second thing, a new boldness and confidence comes into your life. I was in the Air Force, right, and I was an effer and a blinder, okay? I was very good at that. And they all knew when I became a Christian because God cleaned up my mouth straight away. And, well, I did that. I just thought, that's what I want to do. And the padre on the camp, they can pick someone to do a kind of like a valedictory address, you know, a kind of a goodbye address. And it was in the church, in the 300 on 128 entry, my entry in the Air Force. And I got the job to be the preacher. So I went down to the local crusade with Don Summers' campaign, memorized an ace talk about being born again, and did them all. In that meeting, they were all perplexed and amazed at how on earth I could possibly do that. Well, I've just memorized it and just spoken it. But I was bold. I was confident. I knew it had come true. I thought it was going to let me down, but the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came, and I was transformed. I'm still the same person, but my world changed completely. A new boldness and confidence to my life. You become, and this is where it gets a bit tricky, because you become enlightened. You know what's true and what's false in terms of religion, if you like. I wonder, what about all these other religions? Aren't they true as well? Aren't there many roots to God? Rubbish. There's only one way to God. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And my sister says to me, she says, Hugh, why don't you read all the books, you know, about Buddhism and all that sort of stuff? Well, if you want to do that, do. But if you want life and peace and joy and the power of the Holy Spirit and eternal life, then you know where to come. It's the day of Pentecost today, and the Holy Spirit came and brought enlightenment to them. Next thing, Bible starts to make sense. I used to dip into my Bible, and it was a dry, dusty, boring, pointless book. And then I started reading it again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And I thought, oh, yes, this has happened to me. Bloody neck. And kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. I was greatly rejoicing. Though you have not seen him, you love him. How can you do that? Because he's on the inside of me. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Don't tell me that doesn't make sense to us. It didn't make sense, but now I'm experiencing it, it's happening, it's absolutely alive and real. The Bible becomes alive and real. There is relief and help in my struggles in life. I'm not saying you'll go away. But it's a bit like if you find someone in life, a partner, perhaps a marriage partner, you know, and I'm lucky in that respect, then that can really help you in your life. Really help you. But I just want to say, when God comes in, that really helps you. Really helps you through your struggles. And then the last one I've got on here, speaking in tongues. When I received this fullness, about 4 days after 3rd of November 1978, I didn't speak in tongues, okay, like in the day of Pentecost. And that was a problem to me, because I was dead keen and I wanted everything that I could have. I was bowled over by this reality that I'd come into, knowing God through Jesus Christ. And I wanted everything. And I went to this Pentecostal church. That made it worse. Not that there's anything wrong with the Pentecostal church, because I'm Pentecostal, but if you like. But they said, unless you speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit. Well, I was about as filled with the Spirit as anybody could be, I think. But I hadn't spoken in tongues. So I thought, right, I'm going to get this. I got baptized twice. That's what a maniac I was. Actually, I wasn't, because the first time, Warren Porter, the padre, Church of Scotland padre, sprinkled me with water, and I got such a blessing when he sprinkled me with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Such a blessing. I was blessed to bits through the whole day. And then I thought, well, you know, then they're telling me I need to be fully baptized in water or else it's not real. So I thought, all right, I'll do it then. So I went to the church and they agreed to do it. And not a dicky bird. No blessing at all, which made a point. It's not about what you do. It's about, you know, it's not the ritual. It's the reality of what's going on in your heart. So I thought, well, I don't speak in tongues. I want to, because they all did. So jolly well I'm having it. And do you know what? That sort of attitude, God blesses. God likes chasers after him. He does. And if you've not got something from God and you want it, then pursue him, because he loves it and he'll give it you. Anyway, so Warren Porter, the padre, he let me go into the Church of Scotland camp right in the middle of this RAF base. And I could wander up and down there and pray, because God was real to me. I could talk to him. It was great. So I was going up and down there and said, right, I want tongues, God. They got it there. Why are you leaving me out? I want it. And I started moving my mouth and nothing happened. I did it again, moving my mouth, nothing happened. And eventually I started moving my mouth. A bit like, was it somebody said, Mitsubishi Honda, and this, that, and the other. And anyway, and I thought, whoa, that wasn't me. I'm sure that was this thing, this tongues thing. And anyway, eventually I did, and it became more and more fluent. But that actually made no difference at all in terms of any blessing from God. It was just that I got that. Now, it's extremely helpful to me. If I'm down and I'm log off and speaking tongues, and it lifts me up, it builds me up. So all I'm saying is that this is not a push to get you speaking in tongues. What it is, it's a push to get for you to pursue God and to receive his Spirit, because he's a God of love who loves you deeply, and he wants to share himself with you and you with him. He wants you to enjoy him because he enjoys you, even with warts and all, and where you're at. And we've all got those, yeah? Liz said I've got quite a lot, you know. Not warts, you know, that sort of thing. And it's about that. It's receiving confidence from heaven and his life and power in you to help you. That's what it is. Dave, do you think we should play this video? Last 6 minutes. No, yeah, that's trouble, isn't it? Right, okay. It lasts. What do you think, Pete? Do it. All right. Oh, okay, KJ. On your word. On your head be it. Let's play this video then. Listen, I'm not pushing for people to speak in tongues, you know. But listen, I'd love, like the Apostle Paul says, I wish that every one of you spoke in a tongue. I do. I wish every one of you spoke in a tongue, because it's been such a blessing to me in my life once I started practicing it and doing it. And by the way, I was speaking in tongues in church one Sunday in Lincoln, a live church in Lincoln as it is now, and came and sat next to me someone from Palestine, from Israel and all that sort of area. And I was praying in my little prayer language, because you always wonder, am I faking it? Well, I don't. I didn't think I was faking it. And I was there, praising the Lord. Afterwards, he said, oh, that's really interesting. I didn't know you knew Hebrew. It twigged what he meant. I said, no, I don't know Hebrew. He said, I've heard what you said in that language being spoken in my country. It's quoting a religious book, because he wasn't a Christian. It's quoting, and I think it was quoting the Old Testament, probably a Psalm of David. And I thought, oh, that's fantastic. So it was true then. I didn't make it up. It was God. It's supernatural, this. God loves you. Can we play the video?
I grew up in a Pentecostal church, which means that we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts is for today, just as it was back in the book of Acts.
So my name's Nai. I grew up in a religion called shamanism. What that is like the sacrificial of animals for ancestry and like rituals. For example, like when I was sick, my grandpa would do these rituals and sacrifice pig or chickens to take away my sickness. And it would work. During the summer, I would go visit my grandma when I was six. She was Christian. So she started inputting Jesus into my life, taking me to church, and then I'd come back home for the rest of the year, and it'll be back to shamanism. So growing up, it was always back and forth with Christianity and shamanism until I turned 13, and I went to a Christian camp. Ever since then, I always knew of Jesus, and I accepted him into my life.
I grew up in a Christian home, except the Christianity that I grew up with, it was basically like we lived from Sunday to Sunday, and the person you were in church was not the person you were out of church. And so as soon as you got out of church, you were doing the same thing you were doing, you know, the night before or even like 2 days before.
If I could fake it, like I really didn't want to be fake. I wanted it to be genuine.
I mean, I thought it was a show that people were putting on, just trying to show, oh, I'm more holy than you are because I can speak in tongues. And that's really what my perception was, because no one really explained it to me.
I started doing research, and I found out that it's actually a really good thing because it's powerful, and I hecka wanted it.
I grew up seeing people baptized in the Holy Spirit, people falling out in service, and people crying, and so all that stuff was normal to me, and my parents, like, were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues all the time. So for me, it was always something I wanted, but never saw in my life. And that was something that really frustrated me for a long time, and it caused a lot of bitterness in my own heart. I eventually got to a point where I just kind of stopped asking.
My perception of it was basically it was those group of Christians, specifically those older group of Christians who have been spiritually fed, who are like spiritually high in the faith, and they got everything right, and they don't sin, and they come to church every Sunday, and they do A, B, C, D, E so perfectly, and just God blesses them with this weird language that I think they're faking in the background, because it doesn't make sense. And on top of that, she keeps yelling and screaming, and then I'll never forget, this lady's wig fell off. But anyway,
we had a service, and I decided I was just going to go for it.
So I decided to pray to God and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Coming to Chi Alpha, actually, my whole worldview, my whole perception of what baptism of the Holy Spirit is, it completely changed.
I knew how my mom sounded when she prayed in tongues, so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to say that.
And then I remember reading a scripture. It said, ask and you shall receive. So I went on my knees, and I was like, God, like, I actually want this spiritual gift, and if you would allow me, and if you're willing, I'd like to have it. Literally.
And I'll never forget the first time I did it. It was like a few syllables rolled out of my tongue as I was praying. I stopped, and I was scared. And so a few weeks later, I didn't go back to it at all. Like, it was too weird for me.
I opened my mouth this was during worship, so I opened my mouth to pray in tongues, and everything that came out of my mouth was completely different than how my mom prayed, how my dad prayed, how anybody else prayed in tongues. And that was confirmation for me that it was genuine, that it was authentic, because if it was in my own mind, I would have started sounding like my mom or my dad.
And so a few weeks later, we actually went to Fall Retreat, and there they had an altar call, and the Holy Spirit was literally just pressing upon me. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit at the time, and then my tongue just started going, and I was just like, I want more, God, I want more. After I got like a little taste of it, like literally tasted and seen, it was good, and I wanted more of it.
And I remember hearing a voice say, you received. So I was like, cool. I started thanking him, and then out came the holy tongue. I started weeping like crazy. At that moment, I was just like, all of heaven was on my shoulders, and I felt so like tiny, like I was nothing, and like here I was before this being, like this holy being who loves me so much, and yet I felt so unworthy, but he was like, you're so worthy.
I've developed more confidence in being able to hear the voice of God and to know his will.
And it took this pressure off of me that I had to, you know, pray the perfect prayer, that I had to say the perfect thing.
So I remember on the days of my worst days, coming home from school, having a bad grade on my test, or even arguing with someone, I remember if I spoke in tongues, I would have so much peace in me that I was so amused and like so joyful that nothing like seemed to bother me.
Acts 1:8 talks about, it's Jesus telling the believers, saying, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. And that's really what baptism of the Holy Spirit does. And it's empowering us to be witnesses, to walk out a normal Christian life, which is to see signs and wonders, and to know and have an intimate relationship with God. And so that, I think, has been the biggest change in my life, is having the confidence and the vision to know what God has called me to do.
Well, I'm glad I played it, actually. Back to what I said, didn't it? That's good. Could the worship team come back up, please? And we'll just do it. Do a bit of this. We'll pray for the Holy Spirit to... if you've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, well, fancy a top up? Sorry, I'm not being irreverent here. I'm just... would you like the Holy Spirit more? Do you want more power? Do you want more confidence? Do you want more of Him? You want it? Because you can have it. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, him or her, the door will be opened to you. So, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.